Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode on the Mizzi Wahid podcast. And today we are going to speak about how to teach our children or how to guide them on taking initiative, number one. And then second of all, how to manage their impulses, okay, on impulse control. Today's episode is brought to you by Mendaki. And Mendaki, for those of you who don't know, Yayasan Mendaki is a pioneer self-help group for the development of the Malay Muslim community in Singapore. What they do is that they assist students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with education and lifelong learning. For more information or assistance, you may visit my.mendaki.org.sg. That's my.mendaki.org.sg. So, what we'll be doing today is that we'll be looking into what it takes to bring out our children's fullest potential while maintaining a healthy balance in their upbringing. And we'll be covering the two things that I mentioned earlier, okay? So, as you know, that this is part of the series that I've been doing, helping parents to prepare their children for primary one. And I know that there's a lot of pressure and sometimes stress as we look into our children's early years of going into primary school. They may or may not have had some exposure and experience going to preschool, kindergarten, and so on. But whatever it is, we know that most of the guidance and education actually starts from home. Okay? So let's get straight into today's topic. So first and foremost, out of all the skills that a person can have, what would be the one thing that you feel is most important? Okay, and I'm sure that all of us listening in right now will have different answers, and that's perfectly fine. I'm pretty sure it's difficult to just highlight one skill set. There are many that a person should have, but based on your experience or based on how much you know your child, or based on what you anticipate happening in the future, you will probably give different answers. I even believe that if I gave each of you a chance to give me three answers, that all three of your answers will be different than mine, and my three answers will be different from another person's, and so on, just because there are just so many things, okay? But I want to talk about one particular skill, and that is the skill to overcome procrastination. The truth of the matter is that all of us procrastinate. And I believe that we do it because we fear something. We fear the pain that we would have to endure if we actually did the work that needed to be done. A lot of our assignments, our tasks remain unfinished. They get delayed from day to day because we feel the heavy burden, even mentally, just thinking about it. We try our very best to avoid it, and that's when procrastination happens. So what else do you think could be some of the reasons as to why we procrastinate? We all have done it before, and we all have a bad habit of sometimes maybe not procrastinating certain tasks, but other tasks we do. For example, you may be very punctual and prompt with the work that you need to do at your workplace. However, when it comes to changing the light bulb at home or sending your kids for the checkup, for their, you know, dental checkup, for example, you've been procrastinating that. Paying your bills, you've been procrastinating that. You know, we procrastinate certain things more than others because we actually do feel a pinch whenever we think about that particular task that we need to do. So as parents, certainly we wouldn't want our children to also develop this bad habit of always putting off and delaying important things they need to do. As a young child, it would probably be as simple as cleaning their room or maybe doing your homework, you know, all of those basic things. So how do we become more productive, and how do we help our children to be more willing to get started on their tasks more promptly, okay? And I believe that a lot of this has to begin from our example that we show. And this links back to one of the executive functioning skills that we covered before, briefly called task initiation. So what is task initiation? It covers two main aspects: to take action in carrying out a task and having an idea of how to get the ball rolling. In turn, this allows us to be more willing to get started on our everyday tasks better and knowing where to start first. So here are some strategies that you can try out with your children so that they get used to this concept without, of course, telling them or briefing them about task initiation. That's unnecessary. The main thing and the main goal is to get them to take initiative and then for them to get started on their work without delay. For example, if they are 3, 4, 5 years old, they always love a challenge. And so you can give them a challenge and say, okay, the moment I count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then I say blast off, and then everybody go for example, brush your teeth. Yeah. So they love this. You know, my kids love this, and I've definitely done that before. You could also do it in another way, like, okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to clean all of your toys, okay, 5 minutes from now. This works for kids that are maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. They are more aware, they can tell time, they know roughly how long 5 minutes is. And you could even, like what I do sometimes, is that I put my phone there and put the countdown timer so they can see the clock is ticking every second. And sometimes as they're cleaning, they come back to me and they check my phone, and then they continue cleaning knowing that there's less and less time left, you know. So this indirectly teaches them the importance of knowing the value of time, and time is always, we're always running out of time anyway, and the importance of doing things promptly, okay? So those are some ways that you can try. Another way is to incentivize them and rewarding them for completing tasks. You can do this especially for tasks that are a bit more challenging and difficult. So for example, one of my kids goes to madrasa, and sometimes I would tell her, okay, I want you to memorize verse 1 to 20 and I want it by tomorrow. Okay, I want to listen to it. Okay. And if you do that, then I'm going to give you an extra 1 hour on your gadget, for example. If you do that, I'm going to bring you out somewhere on the weekend. You know, so we incentivize them and give them something that they want, something that they value. Okay, so that's another way. And that tends to work a lot, especially when after the kids understand the value of some of these rewards and they get to experience it. I want to, however, highlight to parents that you must never lie to your children. And you must always keep to your promises, because if you do not keep to your promise, then the next time you want to incentivize them in the future, they will not believe you. They will not trust you. Okay, it will not work anymore. Another thing that we can try to do to motivate them is to regularly give compliments when they are able to complete their tasks well. Children in general will love it, and you can see it in their faces how much they love your acknowledgement for all of their efforts that they've put in. So everybody needs to know their children well. Yeah, some children, it works well when you play games, they get things done. Some children, they need rewards, and some children just need you to notice and then thank them or compliment them and tell them how proud you are of them. So, why is task initiation important? Well, number one, it benefits the child to help them live a purposeful life by accomplishing purposeful and meaningful goals. Okay? When you try out some of the things that I've mentioned earlier, it indirectly empowers them to overcome obstacles. Without realizing it, when before this they find it very hard to be motivated to complete the tasks, but at the end of every task completion, now they realize, hey, I've actually done it. I've actually done it again. I've actually completed this. Why? Because all this while you made it fun. You know, the countdown timer, the incentives, the praises and compliments, all of that. And before they realize it, suddenly all of the work is done. And when the children understand the power of those things, and they understand also what it means to actually be prompt and to not procrastinate on their tasks, they will love it. They will love the feeling of finishing anything that they started. And that will in turn help them in their future to become successful in their work, their career, their business, or anything else that they do. Next, children who are taught to take initiative will display better behavior. For example, a child who prepares lunch for themselves to eat in school instead of waiting for their parents or maybe their helper to do it, will show more independence, you know, and I think that's something that a lot of parents would value when their children become more independent in terms of the basic chores and tasks that they need to do. They understand that sometimes there are people around them to help them, but they must be prepared for when others are too busy to attend to them, and yet they can manage themselves. Okay? And another example would be, you know, when they are taught to take initiative, for example, to clean their room, to make their bed. All of these skills are life skills that I believe are valuable and will have a consequential effect on their day-to-day life in the future. There are many successful people who have actually said, and I've seen some of the videos and read some of the articles, who said that children and young people who are taught to make their bed every day tend to become more successful in life. And it's weird to try to, you know, when you think about it, like what's so significant about making your bed and becoming a successful person in your career probably seems very far-fetched. But in reality, those two are linked because it teaches the child to take initiative instead of waiting for somebody to clean it up. And it teaches them discipline. It guides them to have a routine on a daily basis. They feel good when they come back home every day to a clean and neat bedroom rather than always seeing a messy one and then it continues from one day to another day to another day. Or even worse, when it's just automatically cleaned up for them. So they never learn the hassle of having to clean their own mess. Okay? Number three, by being someone who takes initiative, they become a more responsible team member. They excel at doing teamwork and group discussions in school and all of this. You can see how good of a team player they are if they are used to doing things without needing to be told to do them. Essentially is, you know, the meaning of taking initiative, right? So by letting them take initiative in certain tasks at home, it means that you are also developing some confidence in your child, because then they know that if my parents allow me to take initiative in certain tasks at home, then they believe in me. You know, that's the meaning that they understand and they interpret from you allowing them to take control of some of the things that they need to do. And as a result, they will put in the effort, they will put in the hard work necessary to get ahead in life. Of course, starting with school and then later on in their career, in their professional life. And other things, you know, is whenever they take initiative, they become a more responsible team member, they are more confident to take on things that are new to them, that have very uncertain outcomes. You know, it helps them to achieve a great level of self-confidence, as I mentioned earlier. So all of these are the positive outcomes that we can see when we try to train our children to take initiative and then get things moving without needing to wait for others to always help them. Okay, again, please be mindful. There are some tasks that always must be monitored by an adult. And you know what I'm talking about, you know, when you're dealing with sharp objects or hot objects. But apart from that, I think like the examples I gave you, like cleaning your room and packing their bags for school and keeping their toys and finishing their homework. Those are things that you would love for them to be able to do on their own. But it needs to start somewhere. And your encouragement and your guidance is what's going to determine those outcomes. Okay. So apart from inculcating task initiation in your child, parents also play a role in reducing their temptations. Some parents want to do their own way and limit the children from doing what they want. And parents can do more to show support and let their child experiment instead of always enforcing their own ideals of what we want them to do and how we want them to do what they do. And so this point now leads us to another EFS, as per the other EFSs that we've covered in the previous recent episodes. This is called impulse control. Impulse control refers to the difficulty some people have in stopping themselves from engaging in certain behaviors. Some of us make impulse purchases. Some of us make impulse replies on social media, commenting back to other people. Some of us have impulse reflexes, where we would say something back to somebody without thinking first the consequence of what we're about to say. So many associate impulse control with children, but I think all adults have that problem too. We need to learn to control our impulses, okay? Especially the kind of impulse actions that we do or that we show in front of our own children. And being parents, like I am, I believe that all of us always want what's best for our children, but we unknowingly put an immense amount of stress on them. For example, when we feel the pressure comparing our children to other people's children, we see other people's children going for many classes, winning awards, getting top student awards and things like that. And we impulsively sign up our kids for many, many tuitions and enrichment programs with the noble intention of trying to bring the best out of them, trying to help them to score better in school, trying to help them to fit in, to not fall too far behind their friends in school. The intentions are noble. However, sometimes when we look back 3 months, 6 months, 1 year later, did we really think through before signing up our kids for these enrichment classes? Is it something that they enjoy? Is it something that is good for their future? Is it something that fits their personal preferences and character and strengths? Or is it just about us making an impulsive purchase based on what we see other people doing for their kids? So sit down for a moment, and I think we need to think about this. I know that enrichment programs, there are many today, and I send my kids for them as well. But we always need to discuss, especially husband and wife, to see, did we make the right decision for our kids or not? And there's nothing wrong if you want to pull them out, if you think that it's not the best for your children. There's nothing wrong at all. In fact, when your kids get to a certain age, you should even ask them whether they still enjoy it, whether they still like it, whether they want to continue it or not. They are smart enough to be able to tell you honestly whether it's working or it's not working for them. Okay. So, as much as it could, you know, provide our kids with many skills and knowledge by sending them to various programs, as I said, I believe it's about their capacity for taking in information. That matters a lot. I think it's also their interests. If they're not interested in it, the benefit will be very minimal at the end of the day. So let your child choose what they are most passionate about. Again, they're still very young. Let them explore and let that be the focus for them to enjoy learning and to develop new skills. So the takeaway from here is that it's okay if your child doesn't go for something that you want them to go. Ultimately, you have to listen and believe in your child's own preference. So instead of constantly pushing them to excel and do well for everything by sending them for overwhelming number of classes, I know some people do this, And they get proud when their children do well in all of them. But I believe what's most important for us right now is to guide our children to identify their key strengths and maybe for us to be aware of some of their weaknesses, thus allowing us a better idea and giving us perspective in terms of where best to develop them in, you know, and to do it at their own pace. There's no need to rush for many of these things, okay? So we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. We can't be good at everything, and the same applies to our children. So we should encourage our children to find what they enjoy doing, what they are amazing at, and give our fullest support to drive them forward. Therefore, we should focus on what they do best and guide them to become the best version of themselves. In realizing our children's potentials and abilities, sometimes many parents tend to be quick in criticizing their teachers, complaining on endless number of things. Yes, parents tend to do that too. We love our children. We want the best for them. Sometimes we become overly protective, and sometimes we just love to find fault in the smallest of things. We need to always hold back and reflect first before we give any kind of objective feedback. For example, when a child isn't able to pick up certain skills or keep up in school, teachers could be blamed for not being able to bring up their students well. But then again, that shouldn't be the way, because we as parents have the main role in shaping our children, because ultimately we are their first and their lifelong teachers. We are their main role models. The moment we acknowledge that and accept that, I think our role will become clearer and it becomes easier for us to help our children every step of the way. Okay? So ownership of our role is important. There's only so much that teachers can do in school, but we as parents are responsible for ensuring our children are fully instilled with all the good values, the skills that we talked about, the key characteristics, and to help them apply the knowledge that was taught to them in school. So what I do is, you know, every now and then I would sit with my kids and I would go through with them, not just what is in the textbooks, but also what did the teachers say to them, what happened in the class, was there any children who misbehaved and then the teacher got angry, you know, who is their best friend in class and why, you know, why do they not talk to certain kids, you know, or if the teacher gave us some feedback, positive feedback, we should always reinstate. We don't just say thank you, teacher, and then don't tell our children about how proud we are about what their teacher told us. So all of these, when we put them together, will help us to have a better sense of control in terms of what we want to say to our children. Because if we forget easily the good things that our children have done and the positive feedback that we've received about our children, whether from their school's teacher or from their enrichment classes, the next time they do something bad, something wrong, we will be quick to criticize them and scold them. And that's an example of us not being able to manage our impulses, right? So hold back always and think about the good things as well. At the end of the day, my dear listeners, parents, children are our future that we must protect and we must nurture. It is our responsibility to be the best providers for them, without a doubt. We want to be there for them. We want to support them and encourage them, but we cannot be hand-holding them all of the time too. That's where we need to learn how to balance by allowing them to sometimes try certain things on their own, by encouraging them to take initiative on some of the basic duties and chores at home, as well as some of the homework and assignments that their teachers give them. Let them try to do it on their own. I know it's probably going to annoy you a bit when you see that it's not as good, it's not as nice, it's not as neat as you would have liked the work to be done, but that's how children learn. They don't learn if we do things for them. They learn when they do things on their own and then make mistakes and get feedback from the teacher, and then they remember better, right? Our job is to encourage them and let them know that it's okay to sometimes, you know, clean their room, and yet the room still looks a bit messy, right? We want to motivate them and say positive things alongside the useful reminders that we sometimes give them. So let's keep our children close to us and give them as much of our understanding as possible, because they are trying and sometimes they will struggle. Inshallah, our children will be able to grasp all the skills that we are trying to teach them and all the knowledge that they are learning in school and all the enrichment programs that we send them better, inshallah. Okay? So once again, to sum it up, whenever we give our children the freedom to take initiative on certain tasks, I believe that that really builds up their self-confidence and their self-esteem, because they will say to themselves, my parents trust me, my parents believe that I can do this on my own. And then eventually it will translate to one day, yes, I know I can do this on my own. Yes, I know I can try to do this. Yes, it's okay to sometimes fail and not be perfect, but I will try to do it on my own. That's what you want, okay? Empower our children to think of ideas and solutions to overcome obstacles that come their way. And as parents, we should be a guide for our children to explore and find what interests them, where their strengths are, and to give our full support and instigate the hunger in them, right? The drive for them to keep going so that they want to become a better version of themselves. So from there, skills are better shaped when the child is enjoying all the activities and tasks that we give them. And inshallah, this in turn will also help them control the impulses better. It all, once again, begins and ends with us as the parents. If we set a good example, if we show control, then our children will pick up from us, because they mimic everything that we do. They absorb every energy that we put out at home, and they thrive on our support, our acknowledgement, compliments, and kind words. Okay, so be generous with those things and always point out their accomplishments and their efforts as much as you do point out their mistakes and their errors. So once again, this episode is brought to you by Yayasan Mendaki. If you want to learn more about what they offer, you can visit my.mendaki.org.sg. Thank you for always listening to the Mizzy Wahid podcast. I hope this has been beneficial to all parents out there. Take care. Stay awesome. Wassalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.